And before you bring that vehicle that has a few problems, or maybe just one, to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you might be armed with a little more information thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nice to see you again,
Good
Dan.
Good morning. Having so much fun here this morning. I don't have my headphones set, and I'm not ready to go.
This work gets in the way, doesn't it?
Talking about cars.
Indeed,
imagine that.
If you do have a car care question, as you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, Dan has helped us out here for about 20 years on CCO, helping you out, solving those issues. If you have a car care question, 651-989-9226. We've cleared all the lines, so you can use that if you want to phone in your question for Dan. Again, 651-989-9226, or send Dan a text at 81807, 81807. Well, we're waiting for those calls and text messages. You and I were just starting to talk about, well, first of all, it's like almost the middle of August.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, where did the summer go?
Let's skip that topic.
Yeah, but let's do. But many kids, children, grandchildren, are going back to school, college. Maybe they're going to be getting a new used vehicle. First of all, I'm sure you get, and we've talked about it, some people who are maybe interested in a used car for their child or grandchild.
Right.
They bring it into Lloyd's and have you guys check it over before they buy it.
Absolutely. You absolutely have to do that.
What items do you look for quickly in the?
I tell you what, we just did this. My whole cleanup crew was seniors this year, so they all graduated. There was two or three of them that are on their way to college, and we just helped them with that very process of getting their cars ready to go, knowing that they were safe because they're, first of all, taking a road trip.
Yeah.
They need to know that it's safe to go across country. And then secondly, they're going to be away from home where they don't know anybody that's going to help them with their repairs. So they needed to be sure that the car is ready to go. But, you know, what we did, of course, is just all of the safety things that cars need that, you know, we checked the fluids, of course, be sure that the fluids are, you know, clean and not leaking and ready to go. And then we do a safety inspection, which includes the steering, the suspension, the brakes, the tires, all the things that will cause you trouble if you don't stay on top of it and take good care of it. And then we just give it a good, you know, a good once over. Do the wipers work? Do the washers work? Is the car generally ready to go for them?
And you'll see that either from a private party that's selling or from another commercial outfit.
Well, not very often is the seller interested in what's wrong with the car, but very often is the buyer interested. And people will come in and say, you know, I'm going to look at a car at a dealership, and I was just wondering about it. And do you think the dealer will let me bring it in and have it inspected? And we, of course, say, well, if they won't let you bring it in and have it inspected, you don't want it.
Red flag.
Yeah, that's a big problem. But, yeah, we do that all the time, every day, and every single day.
We're
checking a car out for somebody for just that purpose. And while it costs a little bit of money to have the inspection done, most often we find a couple little things that need to be done. And, you know, either you're aware of it and you can negotiate price on that matter, or oftentimes, a dealership will just take care of it for you, and in order to get the deal complete. So, it costs a few dollars to have it done, but it's a great investment.
It's a little more peace of mind too.
It is.
If it's your child or grandchild,
right? And especially if it's a car that you've been using for a couple of years, and it's time for them to take it off to college.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It needs to be inspected and gone over to be sure that it's safe. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than getting the phone call from somebody. Hi, Mom, Dad, I'm in the middle of Iowa, and the car just overheated or whatever. I mean, you just don't want to get that, because then your hands are tied. There's nothing you can do. You don't know anybody to help you. And so that's troubling.
I had a question about I didn't have the question. Somebody I was talking to here at CCO a few days ago. So I'll ask Dan about that. They were asking me about the idea of nitrogen in tires. I know we've talked about that before, but is there some real positive thing? Why would you do that?
Well, I don't. I'm not a chemist, so I don't know that much about it. But the theory is, and I think it's a good theory, is that the nitrogen doesn't react to temperature the way oxygen does. And so what they do is they take the oxygen out of the tire and leave it full of just nitrogen, which most of the atmosphere is nitrogen anyway. So, but in this process and with this machine, they take the oxygen out, and so your tires are filled with just nitrogen, which is drier, doesn't react to temperature. So there's some benefits to it. Now, whether the tires really last longer, I don't know. I certainly, you know, the drier part, they say that it won't cause your wheels to corrode and stuff, but I definitely have had tires with those little green caps on them that have that I've had to break down the tires and you know, repair the corrosion that's going on there. So I think there still is some moisture issues, but people do it, and you know, if it's like one of those things. If you believe in additives for your oil and so forth, and it makes you feel good, that's what you should do.
But
I don't know enough about the nitrogen to actually go ahead and endorse it.
Okay. Tell you what, let's take this break here. Invite our listeners to call in or text in. They're already doing that. There's a line open. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till about 7:45, so don't wait. If you have a car care question, bring it to us right now, either by phone, 651-989-9226, or send Dan a text, 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where in St. Paul?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria.
Coffee shops, great shopping. I love that.
Yeah, you have a way of meandering about while I'm working on your
car. It's worth the trip, yeah. You know, wherever you're from.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Well, that's bakeries over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of coffee shops.
Absolutely. So. And what else? If we can't make it over, we can call.
Yeah, you can call. Actually, I think Jim will be there this morning at 651-228-1316. Or you can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS.
You got a new website, too.
Yeah, we did. Have you seen it?
Yes. Yeah.
It's way more action-packed than anything I can understand.
I'd rather be there in person, as a matter of fact. But that's great. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. We invite our listeners and have every Saturday to call in or to send a text. I'm going to get some text messages, but Ann in Chanhassen is on the horn with a question. Thanks for waiting, Ann. How can we help you?
Yes, my daughter has a 2010 Jeep Compass we bought a few years ago, and she just took it in, and the tie rods need to be replaced, and we just had that done 2 years ago at a little shop. So I'm wondering, do the tie rods wear out that fast? I'm not even sure what tie rods are, but were they not replaced and repaired the first time, and we just paid a bunch of money and nothing was done, and here we have to do it again.
Well, let's sure hope that's not the case. I don't like to hear of stories of that where somebody didn't do the work. But at that period of time, I would certainly take it back to the first shop, and I think there should be some negotiation that can take place there if they did not last, for sure, the warranty period. But even if it was just a couple of years, they should do better than that. But here's the story. Oftentimes, tie rods, first of all, tie rods are very, very important. It's dangerous to drive around with loose tie rods because it's the only thing connecting your steering wheel to the tire. So if the tie rod breaks, you lose control of the steering. And, of course, that's not safe. So it needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed soon. The tie rods, there's a couple different ways of replacing them. One is with a sealed unit. In other words, it's completely sealed. There's no grease fitting on it, and there's no way to lubricate it over time. That's a very, very common way of getting a tie rod. Most of the original equipment ones are that way now. The second one is it does have a grease fitting, and when you do an oil change, you lubricate that tie rod, which keeps it from wearing, you know, prematurely. So I don't know what kind you have on your car, what it was replaced with. If it was replaced with one that can be lubricated and it was not lubricated, that might be the problem. It just didn't get lubricated, and because it got dry, it wore out prematurely. But at any rate, it needs to be repaired. I would take it back to where you had it done the first time, talk to them about it. If they won't help you, then you need to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know it's really expensive, and here's another big expense after we just did it a couple years ago. So I'll find out. So maybe that's what are Jeep compasses in the 2010 Jeep compasses? Are they usually the sealed unit or the?
I'm sure they are. Yeah, I'm sure the original one was a sealed unit. So I don't know what it was replaced with the second time.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's what we have to find out. Maybe that's what happened. Very good. All right. Well, this gives us a start. Thank you.
Good luck, Ann. Thanks for the call. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Texter says this: I have a 2010 Ford Fusion. When should transmission be flushed or changed? I think I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead, Denny.
Read the manual.
Yeah, it's in your owner's manual. Maybe never. Those oftentimes now are lifetime fluids, and they're very, very complicated to change anyway. And to get the fluid level correct, they need to be, up on a hoist to check them, and they need to be at a certain temperature, and I have to have my scan tool hooked up to them so I can see what the transmission temperature is doing. So first of all, if it is due to be serviced, make sure that you have it done by the right professional and so that it's done properly. And if it says that it's a lifetime fluid and it doesn't need to be serviced, I would believe them. I think that that's what you should do. Now, that being said, if by chance you have a lifetime fluid in your transmission or any other component, you need to watch it closely for leaks because if it leaks, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
And so if there's a, when you're having your normal service work done, if there is any form of a leak, you need to have it dealt with so that the leak does not continue and the transmission or whatever component doesn't run out of fluid.
All right, very good. 651-989-9226. Keep in mind, Dan will be here for about another 15 minutes or so. So if you want to ask a question, do it now. Like Jim, who's calling from Two Harbors with a question. Hi, Jim. How can we help you?
I have a 2015 Kia Soul. It has that Eco system, which I'm not quite sure the proper usage of it. You can turn it on and off. My impression is maybe it's designed to be turned off on freeway driving, but I never really have had a clear explanation of how you properly use that.
Well, once again, I would refer you to your manual. When it's in the environment, the ecosystem, when it's on, it's when the vehicle is being the most energy efficient, and it will affect things like shift patterns and operating temperatures and all sorts of things like that. It sets the computer technology into a different mode, and when you shut it off, it will offer you more performance. Say, for example, you're hauling a big load, if you're driving through the mountains, if you're that, all those sorts of things. When you need the performance out of the car, you have to give a little bit up for the environment, but the car will perform more aggressively that way. And most people never touch it. I guess that's the bottom line is, turn it on, leave it on. And most people will never notice the difference anyway. So okay. That would be my advice. But check your manual. And it will give you a full explanation of how it works, what it affects, and when you should, under certain conditions, when you should shut it off.
I know we have to break here quickly, bottom of the hour break, so Mike and Blaine, hang on. Thank you, Jim, for the call. Texters, if you want to send Dan a text before he leaves, the text number 81807. Dan, when we come back, we started the show with talking about when your child or grandchild is heading to college and you've got a car, you want to check and see if that's good, whether it's an existing one or a new used to be purchased. What happens if they're out in the middle of wherever and it breaks down? Let's talk about that.
I had that experience.
Oh, you did?
So I'll tell you about that.
Oh, a personal story. Let's do that. Yeah. Well, hang on to that story. We'll open it up when we come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, helping us out as he's done for many years. I see an open line, 651-989-9226. Dan's going to be here for about another 10, 12 minutes. So don't wait if you have a question. Dan will glad to help you out. Both by text that number, 81807, or call us 651-989-9226. Dan, let's get back to the phones, and I want to find out that personal story of yours. Mike is calling from Blaine. Go ahead, Mike. Dan's listening.
Good morning. Yes, I have a 2002 Alero sedan that my youngest daughter drives, and she let me know recently, Dad, both my signal lights, they don't flash on either side. And I had said, well, did you check the manual? No, I hadn't looked at the manual. So I thought, well, I'll just give you a quick call. Is that still the bulb replacement on the taillights on both sides then? Or could that be another problem?
That's probably another problem. If they flash fast, it's usually a bulb. There's a piece of the circuit missing, and it causes the flasher to go too quickly. So if they flash fast, it's usually a bulb that needs to be replaced. If they don't flash at all, there is a turn signal flasher unit in it somewhere. It's easiest to find when it's working because then you can follow the sound to it, but in this case, you'll have to find somebody to look it up for you, or perhaps you could search the web and find out where it's located. Oftentimes, okay, they're hidden in some obscure spots, but you want to start with replacing the turn signal flasher. If that's not the case, then the next thing to look at would be the turn signal switch itself. They fail from time to time, and sometimes the failure will affect both sides. But
now, that turn signal switch, is that within the unit on the steering column? Because that whole unit had been replaced.
Yeah.
The whole signal unit system had been replaced.
Yeah, that is
a couple of years ago.
Right. That is what I'm talking about, that whole assembly, the multifunction switch, they call it. But the place to start would be with the turn signal flasher. Locate that. It's very inexpensive. You don't have to spend a lot of money testing it. You can just replace it and see if that takes care of it for you.
Now, when you say turn signal flasher, is that the in the taillights, or is that a fuse?
No, well, it's neither. It's
no, okay.
Yeah, it's a self-contained unit. And like I say, if you search the internet for it, they'll show you what it looks like, and hopefully you'll find somebody, oftentimes YouTube videos or somebody will show you where they're located.
Yeah. Okay.
And take you through the process of replacing it.
I bet you'll be able to find it, Mike. Yeah.
I bet.
All right. Good luck. Good hunting. Thanks very much. Let's see who's next. Steve is calling from Buffalo. Steve, you're on CCO.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See, I've got a 2016 Explorer. The Cadillac converter is already plugged now. It's not under warranty, but anyway, if I took that off and didn't replace it, would that be illegal?
Yes, it would be illegal. You can replace it with an aftermarket unit, which are much less expensive. We won't do it that way. We don't do it that way because I have to warranty it, and I have to be sure that your check engine light will stay off. Units seem to work just fine, the aftermarket ones, if you want to keep the cost down. But yes, you legally cannot completely eliminate the catalytic converter. You legally can use an aftermarket one.
All right. Very good. Let's see who's next. Diane is calling from Farmington with a question. Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, good morning. I have a 1997 Buick Park Avenue. And when I was on the highway going up the hill, it kind of chugged, and then it came out of it. And the transmission fluid is up there level. I was just wondering what that was.
You know, most commonly when I hear that complaint on that vintage of a car, it's an ignition misfire that you're feeling, and the conditions you described is exactly when it's happening, when you're under load on the highway, and you're actually feeling a misfire. And on that vehicle, because when you have one cylinder that misfires, because the coil is connected, it affects two cylinders. And so it shuts off two cylinders while you're under load, and that gets exaggerated. And that's why it feels like, you know, something serious is happening. And I guess it is quite serious. You're running on a four-cylinder instead of a six-cylinder. But at any rate, I think that if you take it in and have it checked, somebody, and another point is the misfire doesn't happen long enough for the computer to catch it and turn on the check engine light. So the shop won't get any help with that. But at any rate, if somebody takes it out for a drive, is able to recreate it, they'll know that it's a secondary misfire, and they'll take care of it for you.
All right. Good luck, Diane. Thanks very much. Debbie is calling from Malacca with a question for you. Go ahead, Debbie. Dan's listening.
Hi, Dan. I got a 93 Oldsmobile Silhouette, and it runs really good. It's got 470,000 miles on it. And lately, the last couple of weeks, I'll go to turn it on, and it'll turn over, but it won't fire. Then you can go out there the next day, and she'll start up for 2 weeks, and then one day she'll just decide to turn over, and not fire. The Chevy dealer put it on a scope, and they thought it was a fuel pump. Could it be my ignition, a wire? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it could be a whole bunch of things. Fuel pump is certainly a possibility. With that many miles on it, of course, everything is wore out.
Oh, wow.
To be fair, it's just true. Everything has been worked a long time. You know, there's my first thought was a fuel pump. My second thought is that, there's a sensor in the key, and if the theft deterrent system. And if that theft deterrent system, if the key is creating trouble, or very commonly in the ignition switch itself, there'll be trouble, and where it's still connected but barely, and under certain conditions it's not happy, and it just the theft deterrent system is causing it to fail. The trouble is, for me to fix it for you, I have to get it tacked up while I have my tools on it. And, you know, like you say, that takes a couple of weeks. So I don't have great advice for you to have somebody fix it for you without it acting up more frequently. And that's not very comforting for you to think that it has to get worse before somebody's going to fix it for you. But the two places I would look is I'd hook up a fuel pressure gauge to it, and check for pressure when it's acting up, and then I would have my computer hooked up to it and see if the theft deterrent thing is acting up. One thing that you could do on your own would be to try a different key.
Ah.
Don't think that's probably where the problem is. More likely it's in the ignition switch itself, but you might try a different key and see if that helps.
That's a start.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck, Debbie. Texter says this. Remember the caller about the tie rods. Regarding the caller with the worn-out tie rods, I often see people, Texter says, in parking lots turning their wheels while not moving. I remember my father telling me not to do that because it's hard on the tie rods. Is that still true? Is the question. A person with power steering really doesn't know how much effort it takes to move the wheels while not moving. Kind of.
They're designed to take that, of course. But you're right. If you're wondering how much energy it takes to turn the steering wheel, just do it when the car's not running, and you'll see. The power steering makes a big difference.
Big time,
And you're pushing hard on the wheel when it's standing still. That's true. But, again, the car is designed to do that. Sometimes you just have to turn the wheel to get out in or out of a situation safely.
Texter says, this, Dan, I had a Saturn Ion that had many problems. I had a headlight go out that cost me $400 to $500 to replace because of a computer problem. Does that happen on other cars?
It does.
In fact,
headlights are getting ridiculous. These headlights are so fancy, and the xenon headlights and they have ballasts, and the bulbs are expensive. And
aren't they sometimes hard to get at, too?
Sometimes, you have to take the whole bumper off to get at them, but yeah. People come in and talk to us about headlights, and when I tell them what it's going to cost to repair them, and of course you have to do it. You have no choice.
And
I'm not going to charge any more than the next guy, but that's just the way it goes. It's getting ridiculous.
Well, Dan, we started the show with talking about your child or grandchild is getting ready to go to college, and they checked out the used car, or the car that you're going to give them. And they're on the way, and they're in the middle of wherever. You said Iowa, but anywhere. And they're out already halfway there, and you get the call. What happened to you? And then what do you do in that case?
Well, actually, my kids came to visit me in Colorado, and luckily they made it to me. I mean, they got there, but while we were there for the week, they had car trouble, and they got there before I did, and of course, when I got there, or they waited for me, of course, because they weren't going to do anything without me. But they said, "What should I do?" And of course, I said, well, call Nick, which is exactly what we did. You know, we called our shop.
Yeah.
We called the shop that you do business with. And in that world, we have a networks of different people that we do business with through our parts suppliers.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or through, you know, different organizations that we belong to. So, and we can find like shops in different towns and cities.
Sure.
That you know, have the same credentials that we have. And so that's what Nick did for us. He found a shop near us that was like us, that did business with the same parts companies that we do business with. And so we took it there, and they took care of it, and it was just fine. So
what was the problem?
The alternator.
It was an alternator.
Yeah,
problem.
Yeah, the alternator had failed. And it's an old car and had a lot of miles on it.
They'd like it to find you and have you.
Well, they,
nice
of
source.
Course, brought it in before they took their trip, and, you know, at the time, the alternator was working, so I didn't tell them to put an alternator
course,
in. But
right.
At any rate, that's the way it goes on an old car. But the you know, the answer to the problem is, if you have trouble on the road, what should you do? And my answer is, call your shop. The shop you do business with, they'll help you figure out what to do. And not only that, when the other shop calls you with what the diagnosis is, they can help you with sorting out if that makes sense and what you really need to do, too.
Excellent. Come back next week, would you?
I will.
Okay. What's the number at Lloyd's?
Call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Good deal. See you 1 week from today.
Sounds good.